Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode, 124, 125. Dave, we're just a little over a week away from the start of training camp and a whole new season of the Terrible Podcast.
Yeah, Episode 125, Season 8. Tell me a little about the World Cup Home Run Derby. Yeah, I didn't see any of it.
I saw some World Cup. I did not see the Home Run Derby last night. I'm in New York. I'll be back in Pittsburgh tomorrow and ready to grind it away. But obviously today, we've been talking about the date July 16th for a year, well over a year.
What the hell is that? What the hell's got to do with that day? We're struggling to find some things to talk about today.
Yeah, so, for almost 2 years now, we've been looking at the Le'Veon Bell situation and where it's going to end up. And the reality is kind of it ended up right where I thought it was going to end up from the beginning, that they weren't going to get this deal done. And it looks like the terms of the contract the Steelers offered was not very different than what they offered last year. And that was kind of the premise that I was working with, that the Steelers weren't going to come off that number very far. And if Le'Veon Bell didn't like it last year, he probably wasn't going to like it this year. And looks like, we'll have one more year of Le'Veon Bell in the Steelers uniform.
All right, here's the long and short of it for those just tuning in and maybe were off the internet or away from the TV on Monday. The Steelers and Le'Veon Bell failed to reach a deal by the July 16th, 4 p.m. deadline. And that now means that Le'Veon Bell can only play under a one-year contract, and essentially it's going to be the franchise tag for him at $14.544 million. This comes 1 year after him playing on a franchise for $12.1 million with him. Now there's not many options. Well, there are options, but there are no legitimate options moving kind of forward with him. The Steelers can negotiate with him after the 2018 season ends and prior to the start of the new league year and the start of free agency. But it's gotten this far now, even though Kevin Colbert says they're hopeful, to maybe eventually work out a deal down the line. The reality of that is that it's not going to happen. The other, I guess, avenue they could take would be a third consecutive franchise tag. However, that number would be in the neighborhood of $25 million, being as how now a third consecutive year of a tag calls for the quarterback tag number. Yep. So, yeah, are you going to give him $25 million tag? The short answer to that is no.
They can not a chance in hell. I mean, let's just take that off the table because that's not happening.
All right. Now, the other option would be to place a transition tag on him of just over $17 million. And you might be saying, well, that sounds a lot better. Well, the thing is that a transition tag is really, it's flimsy as all get out, because if a transition tag allows other teams to still negotiate with the player, all that tag does is give the team the ability to match match the final offer or to beat the final offer. Match the final offer, I believe. So based on the way teams are probably going to approach Le'Veon Bell during the 2019 free agency period and how they are likely to structure guaranteed money with him, the Steelers will be folding the cards super quick when it comes to that. In fact, wasn't there something about Kirk Cousins this past offseason saying that if the Redskins dare use a transition tag on him, he would file some sort of grievance because they really have no plan whatsoever to sign him, that it's just an unneeded roadblock. I think I remember reading something on that. Regardless, all three of those scenarios that I just rattled off, signing him to a long-term deal before the start of free agency, the quarterback franchise tag, or the transition tag, in all reality, just are not going to happen. So what that means now is, and even Bell's agent stated as much yesterday, is Le'Veon Bell is likely playing his last season in Pittsburgh, and we kind of knew that going ahead of all this if he was not able to sign the deal. So now if you want, we can get into kind of the numbers, or at least the reported numbers, and why Bell likely didn't sign the deal.
Yeah, look, I mean – let's take this from the perspective of both sides. And I'm going to be very clear about this. I never thought this deal was going to be done, but I don't have any problem with how each side played it. Le'Veon Bell thinks he's worth an extraordinary amount of money, somewhere in the neighborhood of Antonio Brown money. The problem for Le'Veon Bell is that his timing has been horrific in terms of when he came into the league. You know, we've seen guys, Adrian Peterson up most recently, but we've seen guys making in excess of $10 million, and we will see guys going forward, Todd Gurley and whomever comes up in the rotation, Zeke Elliott and some of these guys, if they stay healthy and continue to perform, we will see them reach contract numbers in excess of $10, possibly $12 million. Le'Veon Bell staring at a league right now where the second highest paid running back behind him is making just over $8 million. And you know, the point all along has been, as we've seen this rotation go through different position groups, is at different times, the market bears different amounts for different positions. I mean, look, we saw a time when offensive guards didn't get paid at all, and that's changed, and offensive guards now get paid, you know, very similar to offensive tackles and left tackles and right tackles. That differentiation has gone away. We're seeing this year, you know, maybe the safety market is a little softer than it's been in the past. So there's a rotation of these things, and for Le'Veon Bell, it's he looks at Antonio Brown, and I'm sure he says I'm at least the player Antonio Brown is, whether people agree with that or not, and I should be making Antonio Brown type money, not this kind of Freeman type money or what a pick of the running back who you want. So that's from his perspective. I understand where he's coming from. I've said all along for the Steelers that as good a player as Le'Veon Bell is, we have seen guys come into this league over the past couple of years and be tremendously successful. That doesn't mean that they have the complete skill set that Le'Veon Bell has in terms of being a runner, a receiver, and a blocker, but they can bring a good portion of that. And you just have to look at the running backs who came into the league last year. I mean, you just look at the guys who drafted in the third round who had really productive seasons. So for the Steelers, it's not just a question of what you pay Le'Veon Bell. It's a question of what percentage of your salary cap are you going to allocate to this person and this position. And if you feel, it's been my argument all along, if you feel you can get 80 or 85% of the production for half the price, then you're probably better off moving the other way. Now, at the end of the day, if the numbers are remotely close to what's being reported, and I said this last year and I'll say it again this year, the Steelers gave Le'Veon Bell a fair offer. Now, that doesn't mean Le'Veon Bell has to take it or that he's wrong in taking it. If I were his agent, I would have advised him to take it. I would have advised him to take it last year. Having said that, there probably is somebody who's going to do more for him next year if he stays healthy, a big, big fat if out there. But I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to see, $50 million in guaranteed money and an $80 million contract along the lines of, what we've seen quarterbacks get. So I understand where both sides are coming from. None of this has changed over the last 18 months, not one single part of it. It has been exactly the same story for 18 months, and yesterday the story kind of played itself out.
I tell you, you really could have taken the final you could have cloned what happened in the final 24 hours yesterday with it just kind of felt like it was like the great Yogi Berra once said, it was like deja vu all over again.
Exactly.
With the Twitter reports, even stemming back with Tomlin at the Hampton Roads Youth Foundation event that he goes to in Virginia every year, getting getting interviewed by Rader over there. What's his first? Bruce Rader, and you know, having optimism and all that. People forget that. And in fact, I sent this link to Alex right after right after we had posted about Tomlin's comments just the other day. Go back and, you know, same optimism that he was talking to Rader about last year. Now, what we're about to go over here is the numbers and why Le'Veon Bell, why this reported deal wasn't good enough for Bell to sign. People have already – a lot of people listening to this show don't give a crap about the numbers. A lot of this will go over their head. They don't care. Their mind's made up one way or the other, and most probably anti-Bell, I would imagine, just judging by the feel kind of off of Twitter and all. But that said, it's still our duty to go into this objectively and give you an opinion of why this deal wasn't good enough for Bell. Now, the early numbers are, and we have no way of knowing if these are the exact numbers for sure. Just like a year ago with the numbers, nobody's disputed them. So that's really your only argument. Oh, well, nobody's disputed them, so they must be right. But you know, so that's all we have to go on. Now, Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that the Steelers' best offer to Bell totaled out at $70 million over 5 years. He then went on to say that Bell's offer included $33 million in guarantees and that a little more than $30 million was to be earned over the course of the first 2 years. A little over $30 million. How much a little over $30 million? Is it $33 million over the first 2 years? Let's assume that's the case. And that's dangerous to do, obviously. Now, $33 million in guarantees. What we don't know and what we might not ever know is how much of that $33 million is fully guaranteed. I'll tell you this. In my experience of covering the Steelers cap and contracts and everything, if they guaranteed Le'Veon Bell the full $33 million, I mean fully guaranteed him $33 million, that would be kind of unheard of when it comes to Steelers and non-quarterbacks. And if they did do that and he bypassed that up, I think he really is not getting some good advice, if you will. My best guess is that the fully guaranteed money as part of that $33 million in guarantees was around $20 million. Maybe even, let's say, as high as $21 million on the high side. So you're saying, Dave, where's that other $12 million in guarantees? It was probably in the second year, base salary and roster slash option bonus in the form of injury slash skill guarantees. Nobody ever spent, you know, when an agent reduces and releases a number after a big deal sign, they'll always throw out that huge guaranteed money number. But once you peel back the layers of the onion, you find out how much is fully guaranteed versus, you know, how much is injury guaranteed versus full guarantees. Now, that was about, you know, that's the number, that's kind of the structure that I've been talking about all offseason, if you've been listening to the show and reading my writings and all. My thought was, and I'm sure the Steelers' selling point, let's assume my numbers are true, the Steelers' selling point to Bell would be that, look, we have a long history of paying out the full amount, if you know, or a greater amount of these lucrative contracts as a franchise dating back X amount of years, and they do. You know, have there been the instances where the Lamar Woodleys and the Willie Colones and others don't make it through the full contract? Absolutely. But remember, those two guys had some injury issues, and they held on to them a while before they finally pulled the plug once and for all. So let's assume Bell stood to make $33 million over the first 2 years. Is that fair? Is that a fair, reasonable guess, David?
If he played the first two seasons, yeah, that's what was the number? Give it to me again.
What I'm saying is it feasible that this contract offer that he just turned down would have paid him $33 million through the first 2 years?
Absolutely.
Okay. The Steelers, you know, if they only guaranteed say $20 or $21 million of that, they're spill the bells. Look, you're going to get $33 million. But the fact of the matter is it wasn't fully guaranteed. Now Bell already has $14.544 million in hand. That's going to be, you know, guaranteed once he signs this tag. My thought is with him that he figured, look, you know, as far as full guarantees go, I can make up what I'm leaving on the table, what I stand to earn in 2018 with the Steelers, which that number he stood to earn with the Steelers was probably maybe, between $18 to $21 million. I can leave a little bit on the table and I can recoup all that plus get more fully guaranteed from another team. In 2019 free agency, this contract that the Steelers probably offered, my reasoning behind thinking a deal had a chance to get done is Bell would have wised up to the fact that, look, I'm going to see the first 2 years of this thing regardless. Barring something catastrophic, I'm going to see this, and I get, I assure myself I stay with the Steelers. He evidently, is thinking a lot about the fully guarantees. And what's funny, David, is that after the fact now, you go back and you listen and read what he said right before the Super Bowl. Here's his direct quote. Right before the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. Yeah, a lot of it's about the guarantees. That's what a long-term deal really is, you know. You want that security to it. That's why I said I'll play on the tag. All that's going to be guaranteed. You want to tag me again? Okay. All that's going to be guaranteed. That's how I kind of look at it, because I don't want to sign a long-term deal and everybody says I sign for, imagine this, $70 million. But only the first year is guaranteed. So the first $17 million that you make in that year, that's the only year that's guaranteed. That was his direct quote right before the Super Bowl. Now, do I think the Steelers offered him a little bit more guaranteed money than $17 million? Yeah. Do I think they offered him $33 million fully guaranteed? Which, what's $33 million? What's,
16 and a half per.
No. What's 33 million percentage of 70?
You know, 35's half, so he's 40, 45, 40, something like that.
When have you seen the Steelers guarantee almost 50% of a contract to a non-quarterback fully guaranteed?
Yeah, never.
Right. So my contention that the reason I thought he would finally look at it and say, look. I mean, I don't know about you. I think 14 and a, the $70 million over five from AP average yearly value was a more than fair offer, or $14 million over five was more than a fair offer. I just think he was more, was he maybe hung up on a million more, hitting that $15 million number? Was he hung up on wanting, $33 million? Fully guaranteed? Perhaps. Both those ultimately played into this. I just thought he'd look at it and say, look, I'll be able to finish out my career with the Steelers. The Steelers, aren't going to just cut me after 1 year. So I'm going to get another, get $33 million there. In the end, Are people going to classify him as greedy? Yeah. Do I think the Steelers made a fair offer when it comes to the Steelers' way of doing business? Absolutely. But in the end, I think the way the Steelers like to do contracts with non-quarterbacks played just as big a role in why this deal didn't get done as to why, you know, Bell didn't want to take the deal.
Yeah, look, this is
Let's look at how much. I mean, what was the report last year? $30 million over the first two?
Yeah, $30 million roughly. Again, we don't know that factually that's accurate, but that's what was out there.
All right, so he's made with back-to-back tags, he will have made just short of $27 million, right?
Yep.
So essentially, he's left $3 million on the table, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, let's move. I don't think. Can you go forward and say he's leaving X amount this year because he didn't sign a big deal because he didn't take it last year? You get where I'm going at?
Yeah. So the thing is, like, over the 2 years, maybe he's gonna leave a couple $1 million on the table. He brings the injury risk into play, but it's been, you know, the injury risk is always in play if you don't have a long-term deal signed, and the long-term deal the Steelers sign with players typically doesn't guarantee the out year's money, so that doesn't really change. That injury risk doesn't change. The reason it changes in his calculus, obviously, is he thinks somebody is out there who's going to guarantee him something in the neighborhood of, I don't know, $35, $40 million? Is that what he, you know, he's going to be, what is he now, 26? He's going to be 27 next year. He's going to be a running back going to the market with another, you know, 350, 400 touches under his belt. And is a team who can look at a Kamara or, you know, the different guys that have come into the league and say, well, I can take a pick in the first or second round and, you know, expect some level of production. Or do I want to guarantee literally $30+ million to a 27-year-old back who's been great? Assuming he's great again this year. I just don't think, you know, I get there 31 other teams, and I get teams tend to, you know, sometimes make, you know, decisions that we think are ridiculous. I would bet a lot of money right now that there is not a team that is going to guarantee Le'Veon Bell, you know, $40 million next year, fully guarantee him $40 million, probably not fully guarantee him $35 million. And then the question is, if that's what, you know, if I believe that, what number does he have to get to make turning down this deal the right thing? And I don't know, Dave. I mean, do you think there's a team out there that over, you know, the course of the next, you know, say he gets a, you know, a 5-year offer, would be willing to fully guarantee the first 2 years and give him a big signing bonus, and he's going to get $35 to $40 million guaranteed?
You know, that's going to be the measure point. That's going to be that's why it's going to be hard to judge whether or not Le'Veon Bell, you know, got bad advice, if you will. We'll find out in March of 2019, you know. There are essentially, you know, the Bengals and the Packers like to do business along the lines as the Steelers do, okay? The Steelers are kind of a little, you know, really behind the eight ball when it comes to large percentages of guaranteed money. If Le'Veon Bell has a season comparable to the one he had in 2017, I think there's a chance there's going to be a team willing to, because then you become, you know, you got, you know, 30 teams clamoring for your services there, and guaranteed money is going to be a big part of that. Now you asked what amount? You know, I think you'd be hard pressed to hit the $40 million number guaranteed. You know, I mean, could he hit the first 2 years worth of a contract fully guaranteed?
I think that's the best case scenario. 35, you know, him getting, you know, a signing bonus. And, you know, whatever that amounts to, maybe 20 in year one and 15 in year two. So it's $35 million in the first 2 years fully guaranteed. I think that's I think that's the high end of feasible.
You know, maybe push $40 million in guaranteed money. I don't know, but obviously I wouldn't think any more than that. But as the old saying goes, it only takes one team. You know,
right? What if Le'Veon Bell has an average season? Let us say Le'Veon Bell, you know, misses three games with injury and rushes for 1,100 yards and catches 50 balls and, you know, doesn't make all pro. Then what are you paying?
All right, well let's do this in fairness to Le'Veon Bell instead of the if this season and age and wear and tear and yada yada. What would have Le'Veon Bell gotten on an open market this year, free agency?
The exact same numbers we're talking about. The exact same numbers, 30, maybe he gets $35 million guaranteed. Maybe I just don't see, you know, I don't see somebody guaranteeing three seasons at $15 million. But maybe, you know, maybe the trade off for that would be you just do sign a 4-year deal. So you say, okay, I'm going to guarantee you, you know, $40 to $45 million, but it's just going to be a 4-year, $60 million deal. I mean, does Le'Veon, is that deal more attractive to Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, what's the likely, you know, obviously the likelihood of him taking a bite of the apple again after 4 years, you know, a big bite of the apple at the age of 30. I mean, this is cash-in time now. The next one at 30 won't be cash-in time. It could still be a good deal, but... How many running backs?
Hard to envision him getting, you know, $10 million a year guaranteed at age 30 on a new deal.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of CBA money from now, you know. So, you know, I mean, $10 million might seem like a bargain, you know, by that time, you know. Especially when we're talking about $14 million now per. I mean, you're talking you're talking 4 years from now. You're talking what 2000 and what 2022. Look, the fact of the matter is what he stood to earn this year, guaranteed, he was willing to leave X amount of guaranteed on the table this year for a larger chunk of guaranteed next year and possibly even higher average, you know, average yearly. So...
If I'm Le'Veon Bell's agent, I could not in good conscience, and obviously this was the same case last year, I could not in good conscience tell him to turn down the deal last year or turn down the deal this year. He obviously has the right to do that. I just think, and I've said this from the beginning, I think the risk reward of his decision is skewed way toward too much risk versus too much incremental reward. You know, if he signs a deal with the Steelers and he gets injured his third year out, so be it. You know, he's gonna you know, bank another $30+ million. But just how much incremental money is he gonna make versus what was apparently, you know, 4 times 15, so an or 5 times 14, an average of $70 million, so an average of $14 million a year. Is he gonna make $17 million a year on a 5-year deal that maybe has a little bit more guaranteed? So incrementally, maybe he gets $10 million over 5 years if it plays out, or to, you know, $10 to $15 million. It just doesn't seem to me, with the amount of money we're talking about and the fact that he's going to put $27 million in the bank in these first two seasons, it doesn't seem to me that the risk to make an extra, you know, $5 to $7 million. And by the way, if he makes, you know, he's going to make $14 million this year, but if he gets a signing bonus, if he were to get a signing bonus of $15-16 million, that goes in the bank today. You know, there's you know, compound interest. Everybody knows how that works, and there are incremental things that will help make up some of that money, you know, in the short term. I really don't understand, you know, stretching for the last dollar here in an environment where, which he says, and maybe it's not true, but which he says he likes playing in Pittsburgh. He likes being a Steeler. It seems to me the risk reward for the incremental dollars was not good value, not good risk management in terms of his decision making.
I can fully understand more so last year than I can this year. All right, you gambled last year and you really won. Okay, You've got yourself now in a position where you're, you know, $3 million behind what you would have made in the first 2 years, and you're not tethered, you know, you're not tethered long term to a team. So now, you know, the question is, you know, what's the worst case? I don't want to say the worst, because the worst is a serious injury and him not being able to take a significant bite of any apple in 2019. But what's a moderate amount of money, low end, that you think he could get in total signing bonus and base salary, you know, the full take in 2019? What's a low number, in your opinion, for him if this dice roll doesn't go fantastic?
10 to 12. Somehow he gets injured, or somehow, you know, there's a view that his performance isn't up to speed.
Okay, but what will he put in his bank account in 2019 in signing bonus, base salary?
Well, you would think it'd be somewhere between 15 and 20, right?
Right. I mean, that's why I'm asking you for a number, so I can take my shoes off.
What would be a disappointing number?
Right. What would you consider?
I think if it's all in first year return, next year is $15 million. It's a big disappointment.
Okay, so $15 million plus the 27 that he has now would be what? 42.
Yep.
Wasn't that about what he turned down the first 3 years of the deal with the Steelers last year? He was going to make 30 over two and 42 over three, right?
Yep.
So you just kind of painted a scenario for me where maybe a bad case scenario with him is that from 2006, 2017 through 2019, he made $42 million, which is exactly the $42 million he was going to make with the Steelers had he signed that deal last year.
Yep.
So that gamble was understandable, at least now that he's halfway through it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, yes, you understood it. He's younger. He's, you know, he knows what he knows how the next 2 years are going to play out in terms of the dollars. So yeah, that, you know, you can understand kind of at the time, and he got through one season, and so the incremental loss to him is going to be small. But you know, obviously the risk is he's got to get through this season again.
Right now, between this year and next year, let's assume that the $33 million is what he was going to make in 2018 and 2019 combined with the Steelers, and he's at 14.54 now. So he needs another, you know, what, 19 million, right?
Yep.
So is there a team that's going to put 19 million, is there a team that's going to put $20 million in his pocket in March of 2019?
Well, that's the question, right?
That's the question. And then how much more above that's going to be fully guaranteed?
If you were Bell's agent, what would you have told him yesterday?
Man, I don't run like Bell. I can't catch out of the backfield like Bell. Well, look, I mean, my preface all along, David, you know, for a few months now, was that at this point, knowing that he would probably get around $33 million through 2 years, maybe 18 to 21 million, you know, knowing how the Steelers do business, I thought the deal would have been good enough that combined with his mama being a Steelers fan, which I probably put too much stock in that, I thought a deal would get done. I probably would have advised him to take that deal, but of course I don't know, you know. There's a lot more that I don't know than I do know. I know that might sound hard to believe, but I would have probably advised him to take the deal.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's not quite a no-brainer, but again, it's just the incremental dollars that he stands to make going forward. Versus the risk of injury or, you know, lack of performance as he gets older or whatever. just seems to be heavily skewed in the short term to the risk side versus the reward side. I don't think anybody's going to give him a 5-year, $100 million deal. I mean, I don't think that's coming down the pike. So he's not going to make an extra $30 million over 5 years. I don't see him probably making an extra $20 million over 5 years. So, you know, I don't know if it's standing on principle. I don't know what his view is. And certainly his tweet yesterday at 2 a.m., you know, Eastern time was, you know, that he's looking forward to being a Steeler. You know, everybody tried to get a deal done, and this will be his next best year to date. I mean, I don't think there's any – I'm fully believe that Le'Veon Bell will be in a Steeler uniform in week one. I mean, that to me, the idea that Le'Veon Bell is going to sit out, you know, a bunch of games and obviously not get paid for sitting out, seems to me that's kind of an insane thought.
Well, I mean, that hopefully people can understand maybe why he didn't take the deal now, right?
Sure. I mean, everybody gets to, you know, value themselves in these negotiations, and he has a value that he thinks, you know, he was worth more than what the Steelers' value is. So he gets to make that decision. I understand. You know, I don't necessarily, again, if I were his agent, I would have pushed him toward taking the deal because of the, you know, again, the risk reward is just doesn't seem to me to be worth it. But if he goes out and does it again or is the league MVP, you know, maybe he hits the mother load. I just don't think the mother load's going to be that much bigger than what the Steelers just offered him.
Well, you know, like I said, I can see it more so last year. Of course, it's easy to say that now. Now that he's made it through, you know, and had a great season, I think a lot of it has to do with the guaranteed money, as I wrote. And once again, I will be shocked if the deal that the Steelers offered Bell was more than, let's say, $21 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed. You know, the whole thing is knowing, you know, the Steelers do have it, – it's a good selling point, but at some point, you know, when you look around the rest of the league, how good is that selling point when it comes to what they fully guaranteed? I mean, you can scream to the cows, come on, we have a long history of paying out almost all, you know, full contracts. And look, I mean, would Le'Veon Bell have seen the first 2 years of this deal that the Steelers offered him yesterday? I would have bet a lot of money that he would have. Would he have seen the first 3 years of it? My coin flip would have come on the side that he would have, but it was just not enough of the guarantee, you know, for Bell evidently. Do you agree with the quote from Adisa Bakari? You know, they wanted to play the pay the position, not the player.
It's hard to say. It's hard to kind of fully agree with that quote when the offer is, you know, almost 100% more than the amount that the next highest paid player is getting. So, you know, if they had offered $10 million, I'd say that's a legitimate quote. If the offer was $14 to $15 million a season, I find that a little disingenuous.
What would you advise? I mean, you would have obviously
unquestionably, I advise him to take it. No doubt. I mean, there's also, look, part of the issue is, you know, again, if money is first, second, and third on your list of priorities, then so be it. You have that right. The second thing to think about is, you know, if you go to, let's say you go to the New York Jets and you win 10 games over your first two seasons, and you know the young quarterback doesn't, you know, pan out as you know Jets fans hope, and then you know you don't play in the playoffs, you don't get any of the, you know, you probably don't make all pro, you probably don't even make the Pro Bowl. I mean, there is something to be said, you know, the grass isn't always greener. So maybe having said that, maybe the Houston Texans pay him and it turns out Deshaun Watson's the greatest thing in the world, and Bill O'Brien makes him the best quarterback in the league, and he goes and he thrives in that environment. It's just you go from a known that you have some level of comfort with to an unknown, obviously, for every player when you make a change like that.
All right. So, I mean, you know, and obviously, look, we have thrown out a lot of numbers that you know, based off of one Ian Rappaport report, and, you know, we don't know – exactly what the 2-year take was. We don't know exactly what the 3-year take was. We don't know what the signing bonus was, what was fully guaranteed. So we're going off like most years. I mean, we're probably never going to know the numbers, but the fact that they aren't disputed just like last year kind of leads you to believe that, you know, somebody, you know, as Mike Florio
so, look, somebody's got to look at them, and somebody has a sense of how they work. The Steelers aren't going to comment one way or the other at any point on this. They're done commenting on, you know, they're not going to comment on what the offer was. Anything that we hear further would be more from Bell and his agent trying to put it out there. I don't expect the Steelers don't, you know, they don't put this stuff in the paper. They're not interested in having that conversation be a more public conversation. So it is what it is. I'm not, you know, I don't personally have any animosity toward Le'Veon Bell, and I don't really understand people who would, you know, like anybody in the market.
It's a whole greed thing, you know. People think, you know, fans of the team think that they love the players when they're not making multi million, you know, huge numbers. But when it does come, they want what they think is a deal. And anytime, you know, look, most fans don't dive into these numbers the way we did. All they see is 5 years, $70 million, and the Ian Rappaport report that $33 million is guaranteed. They don't give a crap that, well, not all that $33 million is guaranteed. They don't, you know, they don't keep up with it like we do, you know, of that aspect. When they see 5 years, $70 million, they think, man, what a greedy bastard, you know? How is that not enough? Good riddance.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, to each their own. Le'Veon Bell's going to be a Steeler this year. I expect him to play against the Browns in week one. I expect him to have a good season, and I expect him to be not a Steeler this time next year.
What do you think about Adam Schefter? Here's another funny thing, how things go on. Just goes to show you how the news wire, you know, seems to work sometimes. You know, I have been a Sirius XM subscriber for years. I highly advise it. I love not only their music, you know, a few of their music stations, but Sirius XM NFL radio as well. Adam Schefter was on before, you know, yesterday morning, way before the deadline. He says, now this is his direct quote, "I think there's a chance. I do think there's a chance." And he was talking about the Steelers getting a deal done with Bell by the 4 p.m. deadline. "Of all the four franchise players right now that are out there today, Le'Veon's got the best chance of getting one done. But I don't know how great that chance is. I know that coming into today, the two sides still were far apart, that it was going to be challenging to be able to get a deal done. If they could do that, and again, I just go back to this, last year on this day, right before the deadline, two sides came very close at the last moment to getting a deal done. And for whatever reason, that deal fell apart the last moment, and they didn't get it done." I wanted to tack that first. I didn't mean to go that angle, but now that I've got it out there, how close do you think a deal was actually to getting done both last year and this year?
I mean, that's a great question. And look, everybody talks about, you know, all the nonsense, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but basically all the quotes from, you know, from the 1st of March until yesterday afternoon, most of that's nonsense. It's window dressing. We'd like to get a deal done. Yeah, we're negotiating. There wasn't really any serious negotiation until kind of, you know, the 24th hour, if you will. Both teams knew where they were coming from last year, so they had a starting point that was very, you know, very visible to both of them. It was an easy place to start the negotiation. Here's where we were that last year. If I'm the Steelers, you say, if I'm Kevin Colbert, or if I'm Mr. Rooney, I say, here's where we were last year. We're willing to increase our offer by this amount and this amount on the guarantee, and this is where we are this year. And I don't really see a lot going on from that point. I don't think the Steelers were kind of just inching the offer up to get to a point where this is the offer we're comfortable with. Here's what's on the table. And for Le'Veon Bell, it's here's what I think I'm worth. I'm going to counter with this. Can you get there? And obviously the answer on both sides was no.
See, my that's part of what I've and Alex and I talked about this as well too. I don't see you know, I don't see them trading offers back and forth yesterday, making four or five phone calls. I don't even believe that happened from July 4th on. Look, the Steelers have a way that they do business with contracts, right? I mean, how much quote-unquote negotiation do you think actually took place in the last 48 hours? All right, we're gonna make one more million of this fully guaranteed. You know, do you think that there was that much incremental negotiation? In my mind, the Steelers deal, whenever negotiations started back after the season, their probably initial offer to what their final offer was to Bell yesterday probably
might have been exactly the same.
Right. That's my whole. I don't have a feeling when it comes. Now, I don't know. I can't say this about other teams. Just knowing how the Steelers like to do these deals over the years, I just can't wrap my mind around how this potential offer morphed where, oh, they were close. You know, they got closer. I just have a hard time wrapping my brain around that, okay? And I assume you do as well, too. I mean, and how close is close? I mean, you know, how close do you need to get the hand grenade, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the right question. It's, you know, is it possible that Le'Veon Bell stood on, you know,
Average yearly value? Were they $3 million guaranteed money away? Were they $13 million? You know, I think that's – sometimes when I read that, I kind of giggle. How do you know – you don't even know what the exact numbers are, yet you know that they were close, you know? Somebody's saying they're close.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the offer was really $14 million a year and the AAV, he thinks it's $17, I mean, I guess you can say that's close, and then you have to get into the specifics of the terms and what does close really mean. So I don't know. That seems to be a little bit of navel-gazing in terms of trying to figure it out. But, you know, they had a starting point to work from last year. They had conversations on the last day. I think, and I'll just say to wrap it up one last time, I think the Steelers' offer was totally fair, and obviously Le'Veon Bell has the right to turn that down. I think it was probably not a great business decision, just because if he gets injured or something doesn't go his way performance-wise, he's going to end up leaving a lot of money on the table to only make a little bit more money, but he has the right to make that decision, and he did.
Do you think he's got the NBA attitude at this point? And do you think somewhere with him all of a sudden being liking, you know, the poster boy of I'm going to set the you know, how much did his own ego played into him maybe going against what Bakari, you know, maybe advised him? You know, how much was ego here, do you think?
I do think that kind of I'm going to reset the running back market is something that he took to heart and to, you know, help the quote-unquote help the younger guys. I think that's really kind of I don't want to say naive, but I'm not sure that's exactly how you should enter your negotiations. You got to manage your own situation and not worry about, you know, being transformative to the running back department. I mean, I don't think what happened with Le'Veon Bell is going to impact the Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott negotiations down the road. Maybe what Bell makes next year will impact things. But again, it's, you know, each guy has a different scenario and a different situation. And how many 30-year-old running backs do we see productive in the NFL? Not many. I mean, we just don't see it. There are guys. I mean, you know, Frank Gore's been around forever, but what's Frank Gore making on the out years of his contract? A couple million bucks tops? I mean, there are guys making, you know, we saw Adrian Peterson kind of fell off a cliff toward the end of his career. Jamal Charles is another guy who might retire here, kind of was really effective until he wasn't. We saw it with DeMarco Murray, had one great season, the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. And then that kind of went by the wayside. So, you know, I'm not suggesting Le'Veon Bell's skills are going to erode to the point where they fall off a cliff because he does a variety of things. But look, this is a back who's never been a home run back. I mean, we've known that all along. So if he becomes even less of a home run back, he's going to take more punishment, right? He's going to, you know, he's going to be running between the tackles, around the edges. He's going to take his shots. And, you know, I do think one of the, and this is something I come back to, and maybe I shouldn't, but I do think the fact that, you know, Le'Veon Bell didn't have a run longer than whatever the number was, 27 yards, 33 yards, whatever it was last year, in the number of carries he had is noteworthy. I don't think it's demeaning of him. It's just factual, and it's noteworthy. And what does that mean about his running style and who he is as a back? And that's something else to think about. If you sign him, there had been talk about how the Steelers' offensive linemen, over time, they've learned how to block for Le'Veon Bell, and they block slightly differently than maybe they do for James Conner or whomever else is in the backfield or whoever used to be in the backfield. And if that's the case, a team then has to think about that. You know, do we have to – how quickly can we incorporate Le'Veon Bell's running style into what we're doing, and is that something we should be concerned about? Nobody talks about, you know, those things.
What you're saying is buyer beware, right?
Buyer beware for anybody. Look, I think anybody on a second contract, changing teams, it is buyer beware. We see in NFL free agency much more failure than success in contracts that are given out. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Ndamukong Suh or, you know, you just go down the line for the first one, Dan Wilkerson on the line. There are guys who are successful for sure, but there seem to be more guys who are unsuccessful.
I think he is a great player, though. I mean, I've forever have hit on the fact that, you know, he's not going to give you the 20-yard run. But, man, he can do the rest of it, you know. But how much longer can he do the rest of it the way he's doing it now, you know. That's the question. You know, I'm not shocked that a deal didn't get done. You know, obviously I look at these things over the years. You know, as business is business, I don't get emotionally attached. You know, I would have liked to seen him take a stab at possibly playing the next, you know, three to five years in Pittsburgh to see how that would have, you know, turned out. To see, you know, I think they're a better team with him than without him. You know,
sure,
but
the guy's an all pro.
But I mean, it's not, you know, this isn't the end all do all. There will be other running backs down the line at some point. You know, you just don't know when you're going to find one. All right, Adam Schefter, one other thing he talks about. He speculates that he thinks that Bell might not show up by week one, and that he might try to preserve his health and even consider sitting out in you know, until week 10. Do you even fathom the chance of that happening? The thing is once Adam said what he did, speculated the way he did, it started showing up on the internet as Bell saying that he was thinking about sitting out. You know, and that, you know, that's not what happened. Bell has not given any indication whatsoever that he plans on missing any games, you know, sitting out that long. In fact, kind of his last tweet, you know, several weeks ago, he put the date of the Steelers' first game. Look, we all expect him to miss, you know, training camp in the preseason, just like he did last year. But, you know, come week one, I mean, is there anybody out there, you know, other than Adam Schefter, that really believes that he's not going to be there week one?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, look, it's all about the money, right? If he's not there week one, he doesn't get the money. I mean, he's $14 million.
Yeah, he loses that. Over $850,000 a week, he doesn't show up.
Yeah, there's no way he's not doing that. I mean, it makes zero sense. I mean, it's about the money, so he's not going to not play because of the money. And look, he tweeted last night, look, he expects to have his best season to date. So that doesn't mean I'm going to sit the first 10 games out and play the last six.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, it made me mad that you know, Schefter's really even firmly believes there's a chance of that, not only missing games, but possibly sitting out the week 10. And then it made me even madder that it started circling the internet like Bell said it. You know, I mean, look, I understand why he's painted the way. I mean, look, the dude has me blocked on Twitter because I wrote, You know, he's not going to get $15 million. Wasn't going to get $15 million per from the Steelers, which, by the way, he still hasn't gotten $15 million per from the Steelers, right? I mean, he's getting 14.544, but the last time I took my shoes off, that's less than 15, you know? So, I mean, look, I understand, you know, with the rap songs and kind of his persona and the way these deals haven't gone down, why people are like good riddance to him. But at least, you know, at least cut the onion up fairly here in the equal portions and don't put words into his mouth that he didn't say. I will be absolutely shocked if he's not there in week one. Now, hey, you still use them the same way you were going to use them, right? I mean, none of this.
Absolutely. Look, and you know, the reality is for the rest of the running backs on the roster, Le'Veon Bell not being there is a good thing. They get a chance to get all the work. Connor needs the work. Obviously, the young guys need the work. So I'm not a believer. Okay, people can disagree. I can't prove it one way or the other. Le'Veon Bell doesn't need to play, you know, 10 plays in the preseason to be ready to go at the start of this season. Yep, he started a little bit slow last year. But, you know, the year before when he was injured, he started out great when he came back from injury. So I don't think there's enough evidence one way or the other to make the statement that if he's not in the preseason, he's going to be less effective. The guy's a veteran. I don't think his physical fitness is going to be an issue. Certainly, I don't think the playbook is going to be an issue. So, you know, pun intended, I expect him to hit the ground running.
If he gets off to a start similar to the one he had last year, do you then buy into the should have been around?
More likely to, sure, more likely to.
Yeah, I mean, if he starts slow again, then I, you know, maybe I buy into that, the whole timing thing, you know, blah blah blah. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, right at this point, I'm not worried about it. And here's the thing, though, and I wrote about yesterday. If all this gives you one thing to look forward to during the slate of four preseason games, it should be that you're hoping that James Conner and Jalen Samuels get as much work as earthly possible during those four games. I think you want to try. Not that you're not going to learn, that you don't already know a lot about these guys. And look, James Conner, according to the photos and the reports, looks absolutely amazing and all. But it really, I mean, what has he proven up until this point, David?
This is not a criticism of James Conner, but, you know, between his illnesses and injuries, James Conner hadn't been able to stay on the field. That's, you know, that's something that it's just a reality of his career so far as a, you know, college and professional player. So hopefully, you know, he can stay on the field. What we saw in the limited amount we saw, I liked. James Conner hits the line of scrimmage hard. He was he runs hard. He's obviously as high character a guy as they come. All those are huge positives. He's just got to stay healthy.
Right. And look, I mean, he's still going to get some, you know, some carries during the 2018 season. But look, you want to learn more about him this summer in the preseason games. And then, Jalen Samuels is another guy we've talked about quite a bit. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that, yeah, he's got a skill set. But I don't know if you saw the recent post that I did breaking down his receptions from last season, David. A lot of them came behind the line of scrimmage. And please stop calling him a fullback tight end. Because, you know, just because you line up there and catch passes from there don't mean that you can play the position like it needs to be played on a down-in, down-out basis. A lot of screens in there. And yes, he does have some running ability. We saw him throughout his career run as a running back. The Steelers view him as a running back. The Steelers need to try to learn as much about him also during the preseason, because quite honestly, David, how much do you expect to see of James Conner and Jalen Samuels once the real games start?
Look, you know, we talked about this when it happens. I mean, we're talking a max of 5 touches a game between them. I mean, you know, maybe Conner gets a series each half, so maybe he gets, you know, 4 or 5 carries. But if Conner's healthy, I don't think we're going to see a short yardage back. You know, the Steelers have tried that the past couple of years, and that has not been very effective. Keep Le'Veon Bell in the game and give him the football.
stare deep into your crystal ball. And will the Steelers spend a first, second, or third round draft pick on a running back in 2019?
Yes.
Should they?
Well, a lot of football to be played from here to there, and it depends on the health of James Conner. But yeah, I think that's reasonable to do. You need, you know, I wouldn't go into next season with the roster as is without Le'Veon Bell. So you know, somehow they're going to have to add talent to the position.
Let me whittle that down by one round. Will the Steelers draft a running back in the first or second round in 2019?
Well, I mean, it just feels like they have, you know, they've got needs at you know, linebacker. You're going to have needs at wide receiver probably. So, you know, it's in that group. I put it in the first three, and I don't know that I would guarantee in the first two.
How comfortable are you with Connor and Samuels possibly being the duo in 2000?
Not at all comfortable.
You need to see a lot this year, in other words. And the problem is you're probably not going to see a lot, right?
No. Well, ideally you kind of hope you don't see a lot just because that means Bell's playing and he's healthy and probably playing well. So you would hope not.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wrote yesterday, is you got to find out just how fungible these guys are, I think, as best you can during training camp and the preseason, and see if they can replace Bell's, you know, together his fungibility. So definitely something fun to watch moving forward. At least we don't have to worry about Le'Veon Bell getting hurt during the preseason there. All right, any other final thoughts on Bell? And I mean, now, you know, you turn your attention to Chris Boswell, right? Is he going to want kicker and punter money?
Kicker and holder money.
Kicker and holder money. There you go.
Yeah, you know, but look, the Steelers kind of, I don't expect a lot of drama from here to, but look, we're 8 days away from camp opening. So this is around the corner, and we get to start seeing what's going on and, you know, start to get into the specifics of this team. I mean, the Hall of Fame game's what, 2 weeks away or something crazy. I mean, you know, there's real football coming up, as real as exhibition football is, but, these guys are all, you know, the teams are going to be in camp in the next 2 weeks across the board. So, it's around the corner now.
It is around the corner. And
season 9 coming up.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Chris Boswell, I think there's, you know, obviously a good chance they get a deal done with him by the start of the regular season. Dave, what do you remember about Gabriel Rivera?
Obviously we saw the news and on your site that Gabe Rivera passed, a former first-round pick of the Steelers. Was in a car accident, and obviously that was a life-changing event, an unfortunate life-changing event, and those life-changing events tend to shorten people's lives. And so at a relatively young age, he passed away, and it's just what might have been.
What do you remember, 1983, how old were you in 1983?
Yeah, no, I was, you know, look, I was a freshman in college. I knew what was going on, and I was aware of, you know,
what do you remember about the whole him, you know, over Dan Marino? And then, you know, what do you remember knowing about him coming out of, you know, were you still excited with the pick coming out of Texas Tech, seeing your sack and all like that?
I think you're always, you know, if you're a fan, and particularly back then when, you know, a lot fewer games on TV, a lot less information, a lot less, you know, draft profiling done. It's a guy that, you know, I didn't obviously know much about him until the Steelers picked him, and then, you know, you get excited about, you know, I think by particularly at that age, you're a young kid and you've been watching the team your whole life, and when they add new talent, it's always exciting. I remember, you know, Dan Marino and I are same age-ish. I remember exactly what was going on, you know, with Dan Marino and the stories, and it was not a question for me at the time, should they pick Dan Marino? That was not, you know, there were some local people who felt that way, but I don't think that was an overwhelming sentiment. You know, Dan Marino didn't have a great senior year. He had a great junior year. He didn't have a great senior year, and you know, the Steelers went in a different direction, but I don't remember any kind of gnashing of teeth, certainly for me or anyone I knew, that they screwed it up by not picking Marino. Of course, you're going to do it again, you'd do it differently, but that wasn't the thought that I had.
Were you hoping at the time that Marino would have been the selection?
No, I don't remember thinking that, no.
Okay. Yeah. Passed away at 57. I think in San Antonio, Texas. Boy, two former first round draft picks have passed away in a matter of a week. Ron Johnson passed away last Tuesday, I think it was, on the 10th. At a very young age as well too. So very, very unfortunate there. Yeah, I remember. You know, I obviously, you know, not local at all. Remember reading reports, and I was kind of disappointed though that Dan Marino, you know, what was it, the selection? But you know, early on in Rivera, Gabe Rivera's first season, I mean, it looked like he was the real deal. A couple of sacks in like six games, and then boy, how quickly and how tragically that whole thing turned around with the car wreck there. So really sad story, and really hated to have to write that news up last night as well. Anything else, David Todd?
No, good to get back in it, and. Yeah, we'll talk later in the week, but you know, the topic of conversation really for 18 months in terms of contracts has been Le'Veon Bell and what's going to happen, and it's kind of played out more or less as we expected, and probably the last year for Le'Veon Bell as a Steeler.
Yeah, it is, and no more countdowns next year, I don't think, right? July 16th will just be another day for you and I, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
But I tell you, traffic on the site wasn't bad yesterday, you know, so it's funny how one date on the NFL calendar can really – you know, make a difference, you know, especially in July when nothing else is going on. Kind of weird how they lay it all out like that. All right, folks, we'll either David and I or Alex and I will get to more position previews during the Friday episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar. And that's all I got. David Todd.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.